Ask Me MD, medical school for the real world, with the MD, Dr. DJ Verrett.
Greetings and welcome to Ask Me MD, medical school for the real world. I'm Dr. DJ Verrett, and this week we're featuring a series of interviews with researchers who've looked at the effects of private equity investments in healthcare. Today, we'll be talking with Dr. Atul Gupta, an assistant professor in the Department of Healthcare Management at the Wharton School, University of Pennsylvania. Dr. Gupta has been looking at the effects of private equity investments in nursing homes and has focused recently his research on private equity investment in the outpatient setting. We'll talk to Dr. Gupta right after this.
Ask Me MD, medical school for the real world.
Today, I'm talking with Chris Hansen of Alliance Bank. And Chris, with mortgage interest rates so good, what should we talk about in refinancing?
Yeah, DJ, thank you so much for having us. Given the historically low interest rate environment we're in today, it's certainly a great time for a homeowner, a business owner, a commercial real estate owner to revisit their current interest rate structure on any transactions they may have with their bank or mortgage company. We can assist on both sides of that, residential and commercial. We approach all of our lending on a relationship basis, so we get to know our customers. We are definitely a long-term vision type of company. We've been 95 years in Texas, Texas-only bank, and pleased to serve this Collin County market from my office as well as contiguous counties.
And if physicians are interested in contacting you, what's the best way to get in touch?
Office email address, chansen, C-H-A-N-S-E-N, at alliancebank.com.
And for more information about Alliance Bank, check them out on the web at alliancebank.com. Welcome back to Ask Me MD, medical school for the real world. Today, I have the pleasure of being joined by Dr. Atul Gupta, assistant professor at Wharton, to talk about private equity involvement in healthcare. Atul, thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Can you kind of give us a little bit of background on yourself and how you came to start researching private equity involvement in healthcare?
Yeah, sure. So I am a health economist. I'm an economist by training. I got my PhD in economics at Stanford. And after that, I've been as an assistant professor at Wharton since 2017. And I've studied various aspects of U.S. healthcare, the economics of U.S. healthcare. And, you know, sort of my overarching research interest in healthcare is how we can improve productivity. It's quite well known that, you know, U.S. healthcare actually does a really good job of innovation and producing new treatments and services. What we don't do such a great job of is, you know, to do it at a low cost. And so that's really the focus of my research, you know, from various different angles. I had never looked into private equity before, but a couple of my friends who actually are in finance departments at business schools, you know, they've done some work on private equity. And I was vaguely aware that private equity actually has been quite a beneficial force in other industries. And then, you know, we sort of started talking and you know, they were interested on what people think of private equity in healthcare. And I said, I really don't know because I haven't really seen that much work done on it. And that's how we decided to join forces and start looking at private equity in healthcare.
I saw a couple of your papers and that's kind of when I reached out to you. Can you tell us a little bit more about kind of what particular areas you're researching and what resources? One of the things that I find difficult, and I think you would probably agree, is really getting information about private equity transactions and outcomes and that kind of thing, especially in outpatient settings. So maybe if you could tell us a little bit more about your specific research and how you actually go about objectifying results of those entities that are involved in private equity.
Yeah, sure. So, you know, before I get into the private equity stuff, you know, I'll just talk a little bit about some of my other work, which will give you a flavor of the kind of stuff that I do. You know, one example of a paper that I worked on is I looked at the imposition of performance pay penalties on hospitals by Medicare under this very large program called the Hospital Readmissions Reduction Program. And, you know, my modus operandi across projects is I'm sort of a data-based, empirical research type of person. And so I look for data, and it could be patient level data. For example, in this project on HRRP, I got Medicare claims data to look at patient level outcomes, in terms of what happened after hospitals started getting penalized for readmissions. We try to be careful so that we can make causal inferences and causal claims as opposed to just estimating correlations. That's something that economists in general take very seriously. On the private equity project specifically, as you very rightly said, the most difficult aspect of the project was actually identifying which, in our case, we looked at nursing homes, which nursing homes got acquired by private equity firms. So we've started with this market intelligence firm called PitchBook, which I'm assuming you've and your listeners have probably heard of if they're interested in private equity. PitchBook is a leading market intelligence firm which aggregates data on private equity buyouts. And then they sell this data to researchers and basically anybody who's interested. So we have a confidential data use agreement with PitchBook. And so using that, we got a list of all the private equity transactions. But that's really only the start of the process, because this data is not in a form where you can easily link it to administrative data, let's say from CMS, on exactly which nursing home was bought by the private equity firm. Because in the PitchBook data, all you'll see is that in 2015, so-and-so firm spent, X million dollars to buy so-and-so nursing home chain. So they don't mention exactly which nursing home facilities were bought. Oftentimes, the name that they mention in PitchBook is the name of the corporate entity or the corporate parent, which might differ from the actual, business name of the nursing home chain itself. And so it really was a starting point where we then actually had to deploy a significant amount of time of our research assistants to basically manually go online and then research these deals. And if we had a name of a corporate entity, to go and figure out, what was the name of the corresponding nursing home chain. And then, piecing it together with various sources. For example, CMS has this nursing home ownership file, which goes back to about 2010. And then there are some other files which provide details on ownership. So it was a lot of time investment and analyst time to sort of piece this together. And unfortunately, there is no benchmark. There's no truth out there to tell us whether we've done a really good job or an okay job. There is one study by the Government Accountability Office where they looked at private ownership of private investments into nursing homes. And our numbers look fairly similar to their numbers. So that gives us some confidence that, we've done a pretty good job. But I think we have to accept this caveat that since there is no truth, it's possible that we've not accounted for all the nursing home facilities that were bought by private equity firms. Once we had that, then we linked it with administrative data from CMS, which manages nurse, which manages Medicaid and Medicare, which are the largest payers for nursing homes in the U.S. And so they had detailed data on nursing home staffing, quality outcomes by way of these 5-star ratings, which we use in our paper. And then we also obtained patient level data, so Medicare claims data, and then also the nursing home assessments, which are mandatory for all Medicaid and Medicare patients. And then we use those to develop outcomes that we study. So the primary outcomes that we study are patient health outcomes, things, both hard objective things like mortality and rehospitalization, and also assessment-based outcomes like, are they now more likely to be using antipsychotics? Are they having more difficulty in mobility and pain? And then also spending, which is obviously an important outcome of interest.
That sounds like a tremendous amount of legwork to come to any kind of conclusion. How many nursing homes were involved in the research that you were doing?
So we identified about 1,700 nursing homes that were bought by private equity firms over 2004 through 2015. And in total, over this period, we found that there are about 15,000 odd nursing homes. So about 12% of all nursing homes were bought by private equity firms over this period. And if you only limit it to the for-profit nursing homes, about 15 to 17% of all for-profit nursing homes were bought by private equity firms.
And once you were able to aggregate all of that information, what did you actually find in your research?
So, so that's very interesting. So there's two parts to it. So, if you examine patient level outcomes, so just to set this up, why do we care about this? I guess, healthcare is, as everybody kind of intrinsically understands, and particularly our listeners who are physicians, healthcare is different from other sectors for various reasons. One important reason is this idea in economics that we call information friction, which is that patients are not able to assess the quality of the healthcare provider because they're not experts. They don't really understand whether the physician is a good physician or not, and whether the physician is doing a good job or not. The other problem is that in healthcare particularly is that it's not a perfect competition sort of environment. There's limited choice in several markets, and patients basically very often choose the provider that's closest to them. And then the third problem is there's extensive government intervention in the U.S. healthcare sector. So, even though we sort of pride ourselves on having largely a privately run healthcare sector, that's actually not true. Medicare and Medicaid are huge. And it's most true of nursing homes. So about 80-85% of nursing home revenue comes from these two payers. The private private insurance is very limited in terms of long-term care. And so more than any other part of the healthcare space, you might worry that with nursing homes, because Medicaid and Medicare are not very nimble, they're not market-oriented, they don't really give incentives to nursing homes to do better. Sure, they have some compliance-based stuff in the form of audits, but there's no real incentive by way of price to do a better job for a nursing home. So our concern was that in a space like healthcare, and particularly in a space like nursing homes, you might worry that private equity firms, which have this high powered financial incentive, they might get in, and whereas in other industries they try to improve the quality of the product or the quality of the service to get more revenue, to get more margins, and to do better. In healthcare, because of all these challenges of the healthcare space, they might just cut back on costs without actually improving the quality of care, and not pay a price for that, so to speak, continue to get government revenue by way of Medicaid and Medicare, and improve their operating margins. So that was sort of our hypothesis going in. At the same time, we were hoping to find positive effects because we know that private equity can have beneficial effects. So, we were going open-minded, and if you read the introduction of our paper, we say that private equity could be the great hope of US healthcare if they actually deliver operational improvements in efficiency. Now what we find is on the patient side, we find that first of all, nursing homes are able to charge higher amounts for nursing home patients. And they do it primarily by keeping them longer. So we compare patients at nursing homes that were private equity owned with patients at nursing homes that are not private equity owned. I in the interest of time, I won't go in the details of our research design. but you know, people are free to sort of look at the paper and you know, read what we do. But basically, we compare before after the acquisition by the private equity firm, and we compare to nursing homes that were not owned by private equity firms, and we find that they keep these patients longer, so lengths of stays go up, and nursing homes are paid on a daily rate basis, so it's a per diem sort of payment environment, and so if you keep patients longer, you get paid more. So private equity owned nursing homes are able to charge about 15% to 18% more. So we're paying more
that's just from the patient staying longer, correct?
Yes, it's from the patient staying longer. We control for a rich, you know, for a lot of things that we observe because we have patient claims data. You know, we can control for patient risk, age, gender, comorbidities. You know, it's obviously not perfect, but to the extent that we can observe it, we control for it. So we're trying to get as close to comparing apples to apples as we can. And, you know, we also do some other things where we also control, we also try to compare patients who are at a similar distance from the nursing home, because it's well known that distance is a huge factor in determining which nursing home or hospital you choose to go to. And so that allows us to also get closer to people who are from the same market, who live in the same area, and so are more likely to be similar to each other. So the bottom line is, you know, we find that these private equity owned nursing homes are able to get more money, extract more revenue from Medicare, which is taxpayer money. But we don't find any evidence of improvements in health outcomes. In fact, on the contrary, we find that mortality rates go up. So we look at 90-day mortality, one-year mortality, and we find statistically significant increases in mortality rates and economically meaningful increases in mortality rates. We're talking about 5 to 10% increase in mortality rates. So it seems like they're not delivering better patient health outcomes, and at the same time, you know, taxpayers are paying more. Then the question comes, why are we seeing a worsening of health outcomes? And so to answer this question, we turn to other data that CMS provides. CMS in the states, they conduct these regular audits of nursing homes where state-appointed auditors come in and they get a wealth of information on whether the nursing home is in compliance with a variety of standards that the states have set for the nursing home, as well as they also get information on staffing availability, so how many nurses are available of different types per patient. So we use that data to look at nurse availability. And what we find is very striking. We find that after private equity firms acquired nursing homes, they cut back on nurses. Specifically, they cut back on the less skilled nurses, so nursing aides and LPNs, licensed practice nurses, which are typically the less skilled and lower cost nurses. So we find that they actually don't cut back on registered nurses, who are the most senior nurses who can do care planning and sort of act relatively, you know, operate relatively independently of physicians. But since the vast majority of nurses in nursing homes are these lower skilled nurses, on the whole, there is a decline in costs, which is being driven by this cutting of nurses. And the cost structure of nursing homes is such that the vast majority, you know, a substantial chunk of operating cost, you know, by some estimates as large as 50 to 60% of operating cost is basically nursing staff. And so cutting back on nursing staff actually, leads to substantial reduction in operating costs for nurses, for these facilities, which would, you know, directly go to their operating margins. At the same time, we also find that they are more likely to be cited by these auditors for being in violation of the standards that have been set by the states and the federal government. And you know, these compliance issues can range across a variety of domains. It can, you know, it can be on how they treat their patients. It can be on the quality of their facilities. And so we also find evidence that they're more likely to be out of compliance once they get acquired by these private equity firms. So we believe that these are the mechanisms which are leading to this worsening of patient health. Another thing that tells us that, you know, these stories are kind of interlinked is when we look at, I said earlier that we find mortality effects. We find that, you know, there's an increased mortality of about 5 to 10%, not percentage points, percent.
Wow.
Where is this coming from? So, you know, to look at this more closely, we sort of divide the patients into different types of groups, you know, young patients, old patients. I mean, in this context, since they're Medicare patients, they're all old, they're all older than 65. But, you know, within that group, we divide them below 80 and above 80. And we find that the mortality effects are coming entirely from the older group, people who are older than 80. But very interestingly, within this older group, the mortality effects are actually coming from lower risk patients. They're not coming from the sickest patients. In fact, for the sickest patients, there's actually no adverse effects. It's actually from the less sick patients where you're getting these adverse effects. And, you know, if you think about the fact that they're actually not cutting back on the experienced and senior nurses, the RNs, but they're actually cutting back on the frontline staff, you know, at least we think it sort of makes sense that, you know, first of all, older patients are likely to be more sensitive to worsening of quality of care. So it kind of makes sense in that sense. And within the older patients, it's not the sickest patients who probably still get the attention that they need, but it's actually the less sick patients. Because when you cut back on resources, it's probably the less sick patients, you know, who are simply lower priority. And they don't get the routine things that will help them, you know, like helping them move in their bed or, you know, baths or, you know, other types of sort of routine activities of daily living that these types of patients need. So that's in a nutshell what we find. Now, all of this, you know, sounds very morbid and negative. There are some positive effects of private equity firms as well. And I'd like to talk about that as well. First of all, we find that private equity firms are somehow able to drive up occupancy rates at nursing homes. So they don't seem to do any capacity expansion, but they are able to increase the number of patients that go through the nursing home. Now, you may say that, you know, this is also, of course, a profit-motivated sort of thing. And you know, the more patients they go through, obviously that helps their revenues and their profit margins. You know, that might be true, but still, from society's perspective, the fact that now you're able to deploy these nursing homes at higher occupancy rates is an improvement. And it's not just true of, you know, because, you know, the second question might be, are they just stealing patients from their competitors, or are they genuinely increasing access to nursing home care for patients? So to look at this, we actually looked at you know, whether the total number of patients in the whole market increased when a private equity owned firm entered that market. And we actually find that they're doing it, you know, at the market level. So obviously some of it is they're stealing patients from their competitors, but there seems to be a net increase in the number of patients who are going to nursing homes. And so we believe that there is a positive aspect to this, which is that, you know, perhaps driven by their financial incentives, they are expanding access to nursing home care for patients. You know, one part that we've not yet done of our analysis, but, you know, we're sort of working on that next, is how do you compare the positive effect, which is that they've expanded access to nursing home care, to their negative effect, which is that you know, the patients are worse off in terms of higher mortality rates. So that's the part that we're now working on, you know, in terms of attaching some dollar values to both sides of the equation and seeing how things stack up.
And it sounds like from that, since you have some kind of positive and negative effects, maybe it's a story to be told of how to do the positives and leave it to other operators to avoid the negatives as well.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. You know, I often get this question of what? You know, what do we do about this? I think it's fair to say that we're still thinking about, you know, if there are any policy prescriptions that come out of this. You know, I think that certainly private equity firms need more oversight. But then, you know, people might come back and say that nursing homes already have a lot of oversight. You know, no other part of the healthcare sector has so much oversight as nursing homes do. You know, hospitals and outpatient physicians don't have these surveys that come in every 3 months or every 6 months. And they don't have to provide all this wealth of information. They don't have to do patient assessments. So, you know, you could argue that there's already a lot of oversight, but at the end of the day, it's not really done in a way that allows the government to sort of enforce quality in a real-time way. So that, you know, I think that limitation will probably remain. Some of our results suggest that the negative effects of private equity acquisitions seem to be concentrated in markets where there's less competition. So by negative effects, I'm talking mainly about the mortality effects. And so maybe you could make a case that there should be a hurdle to acquiring nursing homes, you know, for private equity firms in markets which are already concentrated, because it seems like their worst instincts get enhanced in these markets. You know, if there's relatively less competition, patients don't have much of a choice. It seems like those are the places where they really cut back on costs, and patients are really worse off. So maybe that's one way of thinking about, you know, what policymakers can learn from this.
Did you look at, or were you able to look at, any correlation between size of the private equity fund and the outcomes and operations?
Oh, that's a great question. No, actually, we've not looked at that. Looked at that aspect yet. Some of these deals are really enormous. You know, during this period, you had the Genesis Healthcare deal, which was about 350 facilities. You had, you know, Manor Healthcare. So some of these deals are really enormous, and they tend to, you know, the top 10 deals in our sample actually account for about half the facilities. So you could argue, in a manner of speaking, that perhaps a lot of these results are driven by the largest, the largest funds.
When we're approaching the end of the half hour here, can you kind of give us some insight into where you're turning your research efforts next?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we are actually currently looking at the outpatient side. So we're looking at, there's been, you know, a lot of private equity action on physician practices. So we are looking at four specialties in particular: surgeries, kidney failure, or sort of dialysis clinics, if you will, cardiology, and orthopedics. And you know, we've gone through the you know, sort of the manual and backbreaking work of identifying practices that were bought by private equity firms, and now we're sort of linking it to the administrative data, both on patient outcomes as well as on quality and other things. And you know, hopefully we'll have some results soon on that.
Any early indications you might want to give us a scoop on?
Yeah, it seems pretty consistent across the board. So we haven't looked at quality yet, but what we have looked at is, you know, basic effects on revenue and volume. And we find pretty consistently across the board that private equity firms are able to, you know, once they acquire practices, they are able to, they are able to help the practice increase both revenue and patient volume. You know, that's a result that we get consistently across all four specialties that we looked at. So they definitely have the magic sort of secret sauce on you know, driving up patient volume and revenue per patient as well.
It'll be interesting to see what those results pan out. you know, I'm in outpatient medicine, and I've seen a lot in dermatology, and then in my specialty in otolaryngology, ENT, private equity seems to be creeping in, and it'll be interesting to see the results you get in longer term, more of the, as more research hopefully comes out into what the quality looks like in these more outpatient and less regulated settings. Because if you saw the quality issues in such a tightly regulated setting, the question I would have is it going to be even more disparate or more pronounced in the outpatient setting that's not quite as regulated?
No, that's a very important concern that we also share. On the other hand, you know, you could argue that nursing homes were also a case where you were likely to find bad effects because, you know, those patients oftentimes don't have much choice. They don't do much due diligence before choosing their provider. They can't sort of walk out and do over. So you may think that in these other outpatient facilities, for example, dermatology, you know, the patient actually has plenty of time to do due diligence and go to a provider that they really feel comfortable with. They can also switch midstream. And I say all of this to basically make the point that perhaps, you know, the physicians have enough incentive to do a good job, you know, both in terms of their how they treat the patients, you know, clinically, as well as how they treat them just as, you know, in terms of giving them good service. And so perhaps these parts of healthcare might actually be closer to other industries, you know, like restaurants or retail, where customer service is important, and patients are a little bit more well informed. So I think it's not easy to predict in advance, and you know, that's why we are very excited to work on this.
Well, I look forward to the research when it comes out. Dr. Atul Gupta, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
We've been talking with Dr. Atul Gupta, assistant professor at Wharton, on findings he has in his research on private equity involvement in healthcare. You're listening to Ask Me MD, medical school for the real world. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, make it an awesome week.
Thank you for joining us for another episode of Ask Me MD, Medical School for the Real World, with Dr. DJ Verrett. If you have a question or an idea for a show, send us an email at questions@askmemdpodcast.com.